The NHL trade deadline is looming on Friday, and the Rangers are going to be active. What exactly will they do before Friday to make the team better? Plus, I'll look back to my career and the times that I got traded, and the impact the players we got had on the team before and after the deadline. It's me, former Ranger Brian Boyle, Molly Walker, and Hall of Famer Larry Brooks on a trade deadline edition of Up in the Blue Seats. From the New York Post, it's coming up next.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask that you direct your attention to center ice for a special presentation.
Welcome back to Up in the Blue Seats, our New York Rangers podcast from the New York Post. I'm Brian Boyle. I'm joined by my co-host and New York Rangers beat writer for the Post, Molly Walker. And our Hall of Famer, Larry Brooks, is here, of course. It's trade deadline week. The Rangers have until Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern time to figure out what the heck they're going to do. Very interesting. What do you guys think? Let's start with Molly, who's laughing hysterically, so I want to get her on.
No, this is Brian. This is Brian's first go at being a host.
Yeah, you couldn't even tell.
We miss Andrew, but you know what? Brian's doing really great. It's
next
funny.
Man up.
Next man up. Gotta fill the hole.
Yeah, I was the fourth man up in most of my career. So
yeah, I mean, it's a big week. Big week, obviously. Definitely expect the Rangers to be active. I don't think that's a surprise. They have been all over the rumor mills and a lot of different names and a lot of different teams. So should be an active following 72 hours or so. So going to be a good one.
Well, what's interesting to me is their needs have been identified for months now.
Can we say years?
What are they going to do about a third line center? You know, as soon as it became apparent that Hedl was going to be a question mark at best, what are they going to do about third line center? They have to get a third line center. Then there was, who is going to play with Zibanejad and Kreider? And that's been going on for months. And I think there's also the need to add on D. But, you know, the two holes up front have been there essentially all season, you know, from the 11th game on, basically. So it's just interesting to me. It's fascinating to me that I don't they're in this spot with a lot of players not hitting their ceilings, with some of their marquee guys really going through very tough seasons, with two of their top nine gone for the year, you know, Wheeler and Hedl. They lost two of their top nine, and yet they're still in this position. It's really as confounding a season as I can remember. Yeah, because I guess everybody is just flawed.
You know, I feel like it's very wide open.
Yeah,
I feel like just the whole league.
Like I've said all year, we watch them every night, so you see their flaws every night. But apparently everybody else is as flawed because they're right there at the top. So, but, you know, yes, I expect them to get a center. I expect them to deal with their right wing situation in some way. And I do think they'll add a defenseman. I they won't have enough cap space and they won't have enough trade capital to get top of the line in all of these spots. But I do think they're going to be, you know, add a lot of depth by Friday.
Before we get into Monday's loss, I kind of wanted to pick Brian's brain about. I mean, you mentioned that their needs have been the same all season long. In particular, the right wing spot has been a need for the last three trade deadlines. And I'm kind of wondering that when you're in a position where you're filling the same hole every season, Brian, does that almost make it easier? Or is it just like, you know, it's an expectation at this point? Does it make the trade deadline week a little bit, you know what to expect a little bit more?
It's not a luxury, right? Because you need to have a top line. And so, you know, just going back on what Larry just said, and to try to answer the question, you know, when you're building a team, you need goaltending, you need defense, and you need centers. And that's those, I mean, call whatever you want your foundation, but that's the process and how you have to build it. They lost a center. You know, they had a third line center. It was Vince Trocheck. And then he's played his way up. And then it was like a luxury. Like when Hedl comes back, this is going to be great. That's probably why they can't go too fast into trying to replace that, not knowing the whole unknown with him. Wheeler was, I don't want to call it an experiment, but it was a low risk, high reward situation potentially. And, you know, then he obviously got injured. He hoped he would kind of continue to progress as he was new to the system. But is that, I mean, come trade deadline, say he was doing fairly well, do you still think they're looking to add there? So the point is, it's like, you got to look at your team and what you're missing, what your flaws are as a GM. But then, you know, if Carolina goes out and gets Jake Guentzel, maybe that defenseman becomes more of a priority. So what are we going to, if we have a finite amount of capital to trade for X, maybe it's a defenseman. What's the priority? Well, it's going to be a defenseman. Like we'll worry about that forward later, but we're not worried necessarily about scoring goals. We need these two guys to score goals on the top line. We need them to start scoring on, especially the sentiment.
Yeah. I, you know, it's an unanswerable question, obviously the Wheeler question, but I think if he had remained healthy and they had produced at the same rate, I'm not sure that would have been the priority for them to replace.
Well, it definitely moves it down.
Because you know what? It's I said this a number of times. I wrote this a number of times. As ungainly as he looked on the ice, really, as you know, he's looked like he was kind of lumbering and couldn't get there. But that line scored at a higher rate with him on it than essentially anyone they played with. Over the last 4 years, they managed to score, and they managed to, you know, they managed to hold the puck in the offensive zone. Not, you know, not every shift, but I agree. And I don't think it would have been a priority. You're right. Does it raise the stakes if Carolina gets Guentzel? If someone in the East gets a difference maker, I don't think there are very many difference makers on this market. I think maybe Noah Hanifin is, and the Rangers just have not been in that conversation at all. You know, maybe Guentzel is to a certain degree, but and that's why I would be so hesitant to go all in, you know, depending on what that definition is, because I just, you know, I remember when, you know, Marian Hossa was available as a rental. He's a guy who, to me, you know, was a difference maker. He's a guy who you would, you know, who you had 12 teams bidding on to get. And the interesting thing was when Hossa was traded deadline, he didn't win. You know, and Pittsburgh lost in the finals when he was with Pittsburgh. And then he lost in Detroit when he went to Detroit.
The next year.
But of course he won three with But
the next year after that, he went with Chicago. It was three cup finals in a row.
It was amazing. It was an amazing journey. I remember he never had any interest in coming to the Rangers. It was a guy, you know, I remember the first year, I think the Rangers, you know, were in their pitching, but
it's not for everybody.
Never. Right. I mean, they never got any traction with him. And, you know, that's unfortunate for the Rangers.
Well, I mean, he turned down a big ticket from Pitt after they lost and went to a 1-year deal with Detroit. And then they lost to Pittsburgh the next year in the finals.
That's brutal.
Crazy. And you hear stuff like that. Guys who have turned down long-term deals because they think either whatever reason, he wanted to win. He didn't think Pitt could, and then they did. But there's other guys like, you know, John Klingberg turning down $49 million with Dallas because he wanted to get paid more. And, you know, things like that. And then so then there are disgruntled players and that you might not have heard about yet that might be traded. you know, come Friday, where you kind of scratch your head, like what happened there? And they just couldn't see eye to eye. You know, GMs want certainty with cost. That's why some guys who have term on their deal are really valuable, and some guys who have term on their deal are, it's the opposite. We want them just for right now. We don't want the extra 2 years. And other guys are like, well, we're going to pay extra because he's locked in for two more years.
Right. Right.
So,
and that's why, you know, that's why, in addition to his past, that's why Vetrano, I think, is attractive, because you get two playoff runs. You don't have to worry about, you don't have to worry about that spot next year. As Molly said, this is the third straight year they're looking to bring in a right wing to play.
My question to you, Larry, because I feel like a lot of fans listening probably are wondering the answer to this question at this moment in time. What are the odds, you think, that Frank Vetrano, that there is a reunion with the Rangers this season?
I think from what I'm told, Pat Verbeek, the Anaheim GM, would rather keep Vetrano, and I'm told he would rather extend him over the summer than trade him unless there is just an outrageous price. And that's what I've been told, that the price has been set at a really high bar, almost to discourage.
Barry Trotch said on the radio yesterday, said something like, prices are ridiculous, this trade. And I mean, he's like, I'm a new GM, but he's like, the prices are ridiculous.
And I was told too, and I know how much Vetrano loved it in New York, and he talked about that at the All-Star game when I asked him about
to
it.
To you, yeah.
But I'm also told that he doesn't want to be traded either. That he likes it.
He enjoys Anaheim, yeah.
You know, and you know, he's having a career year.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on. You know, if people are expecting, and I'm not sure anyone is, if people are expecting the Rangers to get a right wing, and that player is going to unlock Mika Zibanejad, they're delusional. Mika has to work on, you know, Mika has to get himself out of this. They're not bringing in a right wing to fix Mika's advantage. They're, you know, they want a guy who they can put there and you know, the line can generate some offense. But honestly, you know, this is on Mika. And, you know, we can talk again about fortifying the team and adding a center and bulking up on D and getting a little bit more size, although, you know, if Rempe and Edstrom, you know, are possibilities, that changes the equation a little bit with size.
And Wennberg, have you heard anything on Wennberg? Because that was a target we had heard, or you had heard about.
Alex Wennberg.
Week before. Wennberg, yeah. Well, I kept hearing through the day yesterday that the Rangers were getting traction on it, but I don't know where it is. I know Colorado's interested in, you know, Boston is. Boston has been interested, whether they're looking somewhere else, but they certainly want a center. Colorado wants a center. You know, there's even, you know, some talk that Vancouver now is looking to flip Lindholm.
I've heard that.
Create cap space. And you know, I know that the Rangers were interested in him the first time around. But what do you think his mentality would be if he's flipped, you know, if he's traded a second time, you know, within a month? Basically,
the biggest thing when you're trading for somebody isn't necessarily like, that's that second line winger over there, he's a second liner on this team, we're going to get him. Okay, yeah, that's his talent level, but is his mental, does he want to be traded to the team that's getting him? Those are things you have to overcome as an athlete, but as a GM, you need to kind of do your homework, talk to his agent, is he going to be comfortable coming here, especially if it's a guy you're giving up a number of assets for. So in the case of like Lindholm, if they're going to move him again, what kind of mental fragility are you going to kind of have to be handling here?
Yeah, I mean this, you know, I mean this in the most generous way, but, you know, you would almost think he'd be damaged goods if he were moved a second time, you know. But apparently he hasn't played that well. Vancouver is now looking at the new shiny toy, I guess maybe Guentzel, and they're trying to figure out how to, you know, how to fit him in the cap, and maybe we can undo this mistake. You know, I can't imagine that you can qualify it as a mistake after a month, but it was a pretty interesting one. You know, to even hear that they're, you know, entertaining the possibility. And you know, just, you know, for Lindholm, who was, you know, who's traded during the All-Star weekend and teams, you know, it's like, now he's going to, oh man, tough, very, very tough.
Well, segueing into the last two games that we saw from this Rangers team before the trade deadline, they had a 4-3 shootout loss to the Maple Leafs and then a 4-2 loss to the mighty Florida Panthers on Monday. I feel like just circling back to our whole conversation about, you know, the first and second lines and how that right wing spot is probably a priority right now under the circumstances that they are. I feel like that was the biggest difference in the Toronto game. I mean, the second line was an absolute force. Trocheck with the two goals. Alexi Lafreniere had one too, I believe. That was the only line that was going, and that's nothing new for this Rangers team. That second line has been the only one going most nights lately. I just feel like if the first line was going in any capacity, that game could have had a different result. But I didn't hate the last two games from the Rangers. Obviously, their losses, but I didn't really hate the way that they stacked up against these two top teams. And I think it just shows that they do need the reinforcements, and then, you know, maybe we could reevaluate at a later date.
Yeah, well, I you know, it's interesting. You know, you're designating the lines first and second by
right.
By
I know that's
habit,
the second.
Right? By,
I know,
by
I know.
By habit, because the Trocheck.
But that's line, the first line.
Yeah. The Trocheck line has been their first line all year. Yeah, listen, again, their best players have to be their best players in games like this. I thought their compete level was, you know, was fine. You know, I don't think they had their best 60 minutes against Florida, but I thought their compete was okay. But again, really, it was, you know, Mika's just kind of almost spiraling. He had a tough game the other night, and you know, when you're playing for first place overall in the NHL, which that was the game, they're, you know, they're 2 points out and they win, they're tied for first overall. You have to have your best players be your best players. It's like the playoffs. And then, you know, they haven't quite gotten that yet. And again, it leaves a lot of room for growth, but are they going to get, you know, are these players going to get there this year? I think over the course of a career, yes, things even out, but everything doesn't even out over a season. The season's a fairly small sample size. You know, it's 82 games. That's it. You know, over 1,000 games, you know, everything levels out. Over 82, not necessarily. So are the Rangers' best players going to be their best players? And you know, that's as critical a question to answer as who are they going to get by Friday?
I think if your number one center's, you know, he should be playing close to a level like a Barkov.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was ridiculous.
I like Barkov and Mika together. Long stick, long players, good defensively. You know, Barky doesn't necessarily, I think he could get more points if he wanted to, but like Mika's got to be closer to Barkov than he is to Brodzinski, right? You got to have that element. You can't be first line shutdown. Like the gold standard in my mind was always Bergeron, and Barkov is the same ilk, Kopitar. Like that's what Mika can be and has been. So he's playing fine. He's contributing to wins, but it's glaring a game like, I mean, the two game set that we're talking about. That's the difference. That's what a game 5, 6, 7 are. You know, those are tight checking things where you need to break through and find a way. And maybe you got to give him help just because that's where we're at. It's truly like it's mind boggling because it's all the other elements, you know.
Yeah, but it's nothing new that he hasn't gone through in his career too. That's something that I
streaky. Yeah.
Exactly.
This is extended.
It definitely is. But it's nothing that he hasn't gone through before. And I feel like whenever I have talked to him about when he's in the midst of a streak, that's what he always points to. You know, it's not the first time, and he almost always comes out of it. So I think that could happen. So I take some.
You know who I thought played exceptionally well against Florida the other night? VC. I thought Jimmy was flying the other night, and it's interesting because he can fill different roles, and I wonder, you know, after their moves, where he will be. You know, if they're getting a right wing, well, how does that impact Kako unless he's gone? You know, but if Kako then moves down, where's VC? What?
I think VC. No, I was waiting for someone to say it. It's been out there. The debate.
Well,
if he's gone, If he's gone, it better be a return. We're not having this conversation 12 months from now, trying to fill in the same thing.
That's the challenge that Jury has, is if he is giving up Capo Caco, he is getting something in return eventually, whether it's in the same deal, but to replace him as well. Because they're not, I mean, we've said it a million times, they're not in the position to be subtracting from their lineup right now in any way.
Right. Even some zero doesn't work for them. And, you know, unless it's, you know, there's such a, you know, huge upgrade, and why would there be? Yeah. To me, the Kako conversation is sort of a strange one. Because again, there's not a 2009 Marian Hossa out there. You know, if Marian Hossa 2009 were out there, then you might be tempted to say, you know what, we're getting Marian Hossa. We understand what we're giving up, but we also understand what we're getting. I just don't see it. I mean, you cannot trade Capo Caco for a rental. you just can't. You can't. You know, even for a guy, you know, with 2 years, I mean, come on, what are we talking about? And then, you know, you just go back and you see it's just a repeat of history, how many young guys they traded. And then you just have no one, you know, you have no one to fill in. And then so you have to overpay for free agents and you get into this entire cycle. It's like when you came, Brian, the Rangers already were filtering in all these guys from the drafts, like Callahan, Dubinsky, Girardi, Stahl. You know, there was an infrastructure, and that's been lacking the last few years. Now they're, you know, building it back up, so they can't destroy it. There's also pressure to win. Chris, it's not an easy job, and you know, it's a lot easier for me to, you know, for us to, you know, sit here and with our opinions than it is to sit in that office and make the deal. But, you know, they have really interesting decisions ahead of them.
And we shall see. But before we transition into the next segment, we have some news to hand out some stick taps to. Jonathan Quick earns an extension, a one-year deal. It's got a cap hit of $825,000. But I feel like the way that this deal was structured was really well deserved and just a sign of respect from the Rangers to Jonathan Quick. I think that everybody knows that Quick did not appreciate how the end of his tenure in Los Angeles came to an end. And I feel like just the it's a $775,000 salary, $500,000 signing bonus, a 20-team no trade clause, and $25,000 in performance bonuses if he gets a .915 save percentage and reaches 20 starts. So I liked the way that this contract was structured for him, because I do feel bad about how things ended for him with the Kings, and that was clearly a touchy situation for him based off of what we've heard from him since he's come to New York. So I think that it was well-deserved. You know, he was already looking for a home a couple months ago. So he was expecting to stay. So it all worked out for him. So stick taps for Jonathan Quick.
Half a sheet on July 1st helps. That's a thank you for keeping us up at the top of the leaderboard early in the year when he was lights out. So there you go. That's great business, Chris Drury. And then he's going to get, all signs point to him getting 400 wins, and that's fantastic.
I think that's awesome for the Rangers have their jersey on his chest while he, you know, potentially ends.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, you know what's interesting too is that their July 1st was kind of underwhelming, but they also made two of the most cost-effective signings across the league, maybe the two most, Quick and Gustafsson. Honestly, you know, I mean, I wrote about this actually in our Post Plus newsletter, that Gustafsson has the fifth most cost efficient contract in the NHL among defensemen, and the most cost efficient if you're basing it on points per points per dollar, dollar per point, the most cost efficient among defensemen who's not on entry level. So, you know, listen, you know, Eric, you know, he's not a Norris Trophy candidate, but you get a guy for $825 who's filling that role and you know, is going to wind up with, you know, in the 40 point range for $825. It's a pretty good signing. It's a, you know, it's a under the radar, again, you know, a low, almost a no risk, you know, really there's no risk and potentially high reward, and they've gotten a reward. And so on Jonathan Quick and Erik Gustafsson at $825 apiece, you know, they hit home runs on those signings.
Absolutely. And let me just say this, my wish list for Friday is still a you-know-what disturber who goes north-south really fast and brings the noise. I know they got it on their fourth line, and that's been a lot of fun. But if you can play a guy in the top nine or top six even who's north-south, I don't care about the points as much, has to be able to score a little bit. But someone who can go north-south and brings a little emotion, one more guy like that added with the mutants on the fourth line. I think that'll just change the whole personality. Bring everyone back up.
Mutants. I think that they've changed it already. Just those two
they
guys.
They absolutely have. One more guy though. He starts. So like, look at it. Like Marchand would start the fire, right?
You can't even compare anybody to Brad Marchand though.
You had all these guys behind him, so right. He'd piss everybody off. And like, what are you going to do? You're going to fight five of us, like five heavyweights. And sometimes I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to get beat up because I'm going to spear this guy. And then, you know, it didn't work out. But that'll get him farther than people realize.
Speaking of, what was our takes on the Rempe, Ryan Reeves center ice tilt in Toronto?
6 minutes left in the game. So they, you know, they let it play out how it had to play out and nothing was forced. What a tilt. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Honestly, though, it was really great to see him turn Reeves down in the first period to have the recognition. You know, I think that's something that everybody's been getting on him for and has been a big topic of conversation. And he did. He declined. He recognized the game situation. They were up a goal. But I mean, I also don't think that Vincent Trocheck doesn't score that goal if the fight doesn't happen, but still it was a more appropriate time for it to happen. And it just obviously had to happen because of all the buzz leading into it. They had to deliver
the emotions. It was great.
It was great.
And
it really
he's just got to continue to do what Lavi tells him to do and learn.
Yeah. He looked at the bench, which I actually didn't even realize. Larry actually had to tell me after the fact, because I didn't see it. Cause my head,
if you got the green light or not.
Well, head was buried in my computer writing is, you know, the game was so up in the air. So I'm not paying that close of attention, but Larry was like, yeah, he looked over at the bench for approval. And I tried to get Laviolette and Rempe to confirm whether he was looking at Laviolette or the players, but I imagine he's looking at Laviolette. But they wouldn't exactly say, but he said, he was like, I was just trying to see what was going on, see what was happening.
We have conversations with all our players.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is definitely.
Peter, did you talk to him about that? Did you talk? Oh, we have conversations with all our players.
Yeah, we will never be, at least the guys that are around all the time, will never be phrasing any sort of questions to Laviolette about having conversations with the players, because can confirm here and now, he definitely does.
Conversations with all their
all players. The time. All right. The time.
Cool. We were heavy on trade deadline for obvious reasons. Coming up next, I'll look back at trades in my career. There was a couple and the impact that they may or may not have had my career and going forward. But so stay tuned right here on Up in the Blue Seats.
Well, we had mentioned former Ranger Vladimir Tarasenko as a possible option. That is no longer accurate because he was just sent to the Florida Panthers, but quite a deal here though. I mean, going to Ottawa from Florida, it's a 2024 fourth round pick, which would become a 2026 third round pick if the Panthers win the cup, as well as a 2025 third round pick. So two picks, one conditional for Vladimir Tarasenko. It's a bit of a fleece, bit of a fleecing. Yes. And 50% retained.
Retention.
That was a very nice deal from the Ottawa Senators.
Here you go.
Here you are.
Here you go. If you win the cup, you got to give us a third in 2 years. That's
interesting. Well,
Florida's a problem. They've been a problem. I said they're a problem.
Yep. They're going to be a problem. Huge problem.
Bob's got a Russian buddy.
Mm.
Oh, boy. All right.
Still the team to beat in the East.
Yeah. Wow. That's, I can't wait. There's going to be fireworks.
Now, obviously, we feel good about, you know, where we put ourselves, you know, as far as where the standings are and, you know, the kind of hockey we've played, you know, the whole year and especially as of late. So, like you said, the deadline's coming up here and, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, we're definitely happy with how we've been playing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, we're back with Up in the Blue Seats talking about personal trades that I had. And let's go to my first trade. That I had. It was in the off season. I was on a beach in Cape Cod, just having a great time. Larry ruined it. No, I remember that one, getting traded to the New York Rangers. Best thing that ever happened in my career. I was excited about it when the call came in. It wasn't going great in LA with the new coach that came in. My first year, I thought I was going to have a long career in LA, and things changed fast. But went from prospect to suspect, as they say, sort of quickly. So the Rangers took a chance on me. This story actually goes back even farther, and we can get into that because it's so absurd. But I want to just get Larry's take, because I was all excited until all my LA guys start texting me. And I didn't even know half of them had my number. I try to keep a low profile in LA, so to speak. Young kid, sort of like a rookie, just not trying to get in anyone's way. And then I was kind of bummed. I was like, oh, man, these guys, like, you know, they kind of wanted me around. That was a good feeling, and I was kind of bummed. But then, thank God, because I got myself some torts treatment, and it helped out quite a bit. Larry had we've talked about it before, but there's some Hall of Famer they could have offer sheeted, I guess, and Larry was not thrilled with it.
No, they gave up a third round pick.
Oh gosh,
the Rangers are going to have to have that.
Be nice, Larry.
They'll be honest. Have that third round pick in order to make the offer sheet the following year. Of course, there are no offer sheets, we know, but, you know, back then maybe there was the hint of possibility. So I remember saying to Glenn, I said, why would you do this? why would you give up a draft pick for him? Why don't you understand? And he said, yeah, well, he played well at the Garden against us.
There you go, Ryan.
Why would you do this? And I wrote
it accordingly.
This,
I'll be honest.
A major blunder.
Brian, did you have people sending you that article?
So my AMA agent brought it up. He's just like, yeah, don't worry about this Brooks guy in New York. You know, it's different media there. I'm like, what?
Look how far you guys have come.
New York Post. I'm like, what's a New York Post? Can't even read. No, it's funny because, and you know, there wasn't, and I feel bad for young kids now, especially during trade time and this social media. Just stay off it. Stay off it, fellas. It's not going to be good. I didn't have any of that to worry about. But this trade goes back. My second year, I was up and down so much with L.A. The GM of L.A. was Dean Lombardi. And I found out, like, through my agent, my dad requested a meeting with him or vice versa. I honestly don't even know. And I'm like, what is going on? Dad, you can't talk to the GM. You can't talk to the coach. You can't talk to my agent. You just, like, it's just pro hockey now. Like, and apparently they met in New Hampshire. where I was playing in the minors. They had a great conversation, I guess. And I finished out the year. I got called up towards the end of the year and played really well. Got in a couple fights, scored a couple goals. I thought everything was great. And all I did was raise my stock value, trade value up to a third round pick, questionably third round pick. And it ended up happening. And I guess since the day I got drafted in 2003 to the day I got traded in 2009, every single day, my mother would pray that I get traded back east. So it's like this whole thing, it just was not meant to be in LA. And then they ended up, you know, beating us in the cup final in 14, which whatever. But we had, man, it was a great, it really was. It was the greatest thing ever. And I remember being excited about it because I had time to process it, to train, to see, looking at the roster, like they had young players, as Larry mentioned, Dubinsky, Callahan, Stahl, Girardi. What they didn't have was center iceman. I believe they had Drury and Dubinsky. And then it was Anisimov and me. And I didn't know the other guys. I think we, and Tyler Arneson was a invite to camp, and he actually signed a contract. Didn't last very long, but so I had to beat him out. They were so thin at center. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to be on the Rangers. And, you know, I made it. It wasn't a great first season, but it's not easy to play 6 minutes a night. And I learned a lot. It was the best thing ever. And then signing with Tampa feels like a trade because I was here for so long. That was a lot of mixed emotions. It was really hard, but I didn't feel like I was really wanted back really particularly that much. So it was tough saying bye to the city and all my teammates. We went through so much. Getting traded out of Tampa was brutal. It was brutal. And then we had, and Steve Eisen was awesome about the whole thing. He took me in like maybe 2 or 3 weeks before the deadlines, talking about it and looking at our schedule and basically saying, without saying it, we need to win this many games. And we need to be in this kind of a spot. He's like, I could re-sign you or I could trade you. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I want you to know this is what I'm thinking. And he was so awesome about it. And we lost to Calgary on a Monday. And then we were going to play Ottawa on like a Wednesday. And I remember sitting in the locker room on that Monday in my gear, knowing it was over. Not without really knowing, but just being like, I think that's it. I can't believe it. And then the next day they traded Ben Bishop to LA. And then the following day, I'm in my nap about to play Ottawa, and he called me in the middle of my nap. And then everything just went sideways. It was like
middle of my nap.
Yeah, I was very grumpy.
It was off on the wrong foot from the start.
Oh, man, it was brutal. And then it's like, yeah, we don't know how we're going to get you to San Jose to join the Toronto Maple Leafs, but hang tight. So, like, I don't have a team for a day and a half. It's really hard because I loved it down there. Getting traded midseason was like so weird, not normal. I thought we could still press and be, if we made the playoffs, we'd be good because we were where we were because of injuries and whatnot. So once they got rid of Bish, though, I knew that was the first domino to fall, and it's difficult. And then fast forward to 2 years later, I was in Jersey, my second year in Jersey, and we were not good. And that one, I was very excited to go to Nashville and play in the playoffs. And I loved Jersey, and they were great. And it was, had that little, you know, New York Jersey rivalry, obviously, but I had that time in Tampa, and then I went to Toronto. It had been a little bit of time. I was ready to go join a playoff team, and I was excited about that. But it's always stressful leaving, and then like the wife and kids are there, and I'm like, I'll see you when I can get you down there. I don't know what's going to happen. And then everything fell on her. She's got to pack everything. She's got to do everything because we stuck together everywhere, and it was like, man, it's crazy. And then it's like, hey, go play, learn the system, and play well because we just gave up assets for you. It's a lot to process.
It's interesting to hear you talk about your mixed emotions or your thoughts about whether Tampa could have made a run if they hadn't divested, if they had kept their guys. This came up in a conversation with Mika. We were talking, you know, a few weeks ago, and we went back to the Rangers' decision in 2018. It was just discussing it, and I actually brought it up, and he said to me, he said, you know, we were only a couple of points out. He said, we had all our guys, you know, we had the same guys. And I said, he said, we, you know, if we had added instead of, I said, you're talking with your heart. I said, maybe you would have won a round, maybe. But that's wasn't the objective. And that's, you know, the whole objective is is to build a team to where they can win four rounds, not one. But, you know, here 6 years later, Mika is expressing that, you know, we should have gone for it. We should have gone for it. That's just obviously the mentality.
Well, you know who that, you know, I don't want to say it screwed the most, but the person that really fell on and probably hit the hardest was Hank.
Oh, yeah.
His window was closing and they just slammed it shut.
Yeah.
And overall health of the organization, do I think it was the right decision? I do. I honestly think, look, they're not here now. If they didn't do that, then it's quite obvious. But I felt for Hank when that thing came out. It was the first guy I thought of. Henrik Lundqvist just did what he did for that long. And now you're telling him this. So it couldn't have been easy. I still think it was probably the right decision. Yeah. But man, that's how trades can affect, even if you don't get traded. That's how things can trade deadline day. It affects everyone a little bit different, but man, that one was tough to see, just because thinking of him and what he means just as a former teammate of mine and what he's done for that team. Okay. Well, Larry, thanks again for joining us as always. I appreciate your time and your insights, my man.
You're welcome.
virtual fist bump.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I mean it. Hopefully everyone knows I mean it. I really do. And, you know, Molly and I will give our Stars of the Week. We'll give our closing statements on Up in the Blue Seats next. Stay with us.
I don't think he's scared of anyone. I think he's shown that. Yeah, man, I thought he had some good hits and obviously a good fight there at the end. I thought, he brings that physicality and that edge to his game that is good for our team.
All right, that wraps up episode 147 of Up in the Blue Seats, our Rangers podcast from the New York Post. I am crushing this.
She's so good. All right, I'm so proud.
I read that off my phone. Hey, Molly.
Hey.
It's just two of us. We're going to do three stars. Who writes this? This is epic. This is so good. Yeah, we're gonna do three stars of the week. I'm going to defer to you. You go first, please.
Okay. I'm going to go with Alexis Lafreniere because, my God, the kid looks different this year in general, but the last couple weeks, it's been at a real consistent level. He's bringing the same thing every night. That line has been, it's borderline the heart and soul of the lineup, not excluding goalies, but I mean, excluding goalies. Yeah, Lafreniere just looks great on the other side of Artemi Panarin, and that's going to be a key line for them in the playoffs.
Well, in between those two, I got Trocheck. Just clutch again. They're driving the bus. The clutch factor, and you know when they're making a difference too, it's just fun to watch. Can't mix them up. They're a problem for other teams.
They were the only reason they were in that Toronto game. And then what we're going to do now that we don't have Andrew is we're going to pick a third star together after deliberating off camera.
Much time.
But this week was actually easy. You got to go with Matt Rempe dropping the gloves with Ryan Reeves, center ice. Honestly, the theater of it all. It's too good.
How hard must it have been for him not to just get it done with? That's really hard with the prospect of that hanging over your head and then playing in an important game and then fighting Revo at center ice at the Garden.
I know. I talked to him about it and he acknowledged how crazy it was. How the media, how fans just built this up, the anticipation for it. He was like, that was kind of nuts though. I don't think he was expecting that. But he also talked about, this was such a great quote, you know, he said something to the effect of, you know, when you're getting openly challenged like that, you know, we can say no and stuff, but I'm a competitor. I was like, this, just like Ryan Reeves said, this guy is going to be a menace in the National Hockey League. And I loved the banter between the two of them, you know, the day after, just, you know, recapping it. It's great. Very entertaining.
Good for the kid. I love it. It's a great story. Good stuff. Well, that was fun. I'll work at this. I'll get better.
You will.
Get better.
We'll both get better.
All right. All right. As always, many thanks to Jake Brown for producing the show, as well as the intern, Dan Shalom. Said that right, didn't I, Dan?
Yep.
Get Dan in here, pop in. You can catch all episodes of the podcast by subscribing to Up in the Blue Seats on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch us on the New York Post Sports YouTube page. Subscribe there and give us a thumbs up below on YouTube and comment. Who do you want the Rangers to get before the trade deadline? Interesting. You won't know until we record next what you said, as Jake tells us. All right. You can also follow us on Twitter at Molly Walker. That's two E's and two R's. And at Bri Brows. That's me. For Molly Walker and Larry Brooks, I'm Brian Boyle. Thanks, gang.
Yeah.
I can't do that when I'm reading off my phone. I'm the worst reader.
Bye, everybody.